Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Check one. My mic sounds nice. Check two.
Yeah, your mic does sound nice.
It always sounds nice.
No, it doesn't always sound nice.
Yes,
don't give yourself too much credit.
Whatever. Do you want me to walk off this set? I will walk out of here.
No, I do not want you to walk off this set. I think I've been pretty clear about that.
Yeah, you have. But, you know, sometimes my boots get to walking.
Oh, that's a terrible. Terrible.
I don't wear boots. It's a lie.
I don't even wear shoes.
I'm not even wearing nothing right now.
I'm not even wearing pants.
Woo!
All right, people. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 10 of the CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Philip Kerrigan, and I am the Combined Fund Drive Program Manager.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty dramatic.
Drop that.
I am joined, almost as always, by my co-host,
Heather Lucas, the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive. Get it?
Yeah. We're here to talk about community programs, which is fairly ironic because that is the division that we actually are housed in.
Yeah,
the Secretary of State's
office. You like how I did that?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. We aren't actually talking about our community programs, although, to be fair, mm-hmm. we do have a few very valuable programs within Community Programs Division.
Yeah, and you can also give to them through the CFD.
That's right.
The Legacy Project, Washington State Heritage Trust, the Washington State Library and Archives have their own thing.
That's correct.
But then also the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library.
Correct, yeah. Correct. So, and not to mention, shout out to the folks at ACP as well,
yeah,
who have actually been on the show.
And who... hopefully, we'll get their own listing.
That's right. We are not talking about those programs today. We're actually... we did that whole thing. We're not talking about it.
We're not talking about you.
We're actually talking about sort of holistic community programs that attempt to tackle issues by hitting at it from a number of different places. What's really neat about nonprofits, mm-hmm. Almost every single nonprofit we've talked to this point, if you're talking about the Tanzania Teaching Foundation, or you're talking about the one in Gig Harbor that has Harbor Wild Watch, you know, those sort of things, they're very, very important because they provide a service to the community. They are mm-hmm. targeted, yeah. and they are attempting to solve one particular issue. Sound Generations comes to mind, the folks who have the senior centers up in Seattle.
Yeah.
That is a particular issue that they're attempting to address. Community programs like the United Way attempt to look at a big issue like homelessness or education, mm-hmm. and they attempt to tackle the needs within that issue by going at it systemically using multiple different
methods.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the doctoral way of actually explaining what a community program is, but that's essentially what it is. We were joined today by the head of one of those community programs, the United Way of Kitsap County's Carl Borg. He's the executive director there. He sat down with us to kind of talk about the needs in Kitsap County mm-hmm. and how a community program charity like the United Way is attempting to change those sort of things.
Yeah.
So think of your community program charities like the community foundation that's within your city, right? So in places like Wenatchee and Okanagan, you have the North Central Washington Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. Here in Olympia, you have the community foundation that also works alongside places like the United Way. These are organizations, a little bit like us,
yeah.
that basically are attempting to connect their donors to particular charities or particular issues and basically use multiple relationships to try and solve them.
Absolutely.
Is the way it goes. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
All right, cool. So what we did was we sat down with Carl and we talked about the United Way specifically. We talked tornadoes. By the way, there was a tornado in freaking Kitsap County.
Yeah.
What is that all about? That was super interesting.
Yeah, madness.
And we just talked about some of the things that they've been attempting to do. So really neat conversation. Before we get into that conversation, you have a question of the pod.
I do. Mm-hmm. So since this is about community programs, community, a big word, a buzzword, right?
Yes.
So for you, what comes to mind when you hear someone talk about the importance of community?
Oh, that's actually an excellent and deep question.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's not your mustache
welcome.
Question.
I can bring back some mustache questions.
Everybody loves the mustache questions.
You know, honestly, I don't remember the mustache question.
It was great. We were talking about human trafficking of all things.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, human traffickers oftentimes have mustaches.
They're creepy.
Have you ever worn a mustache?
Yeah.
Those are good questions. But this one
is deeper. Okay.
This one's deeper. It's
maybe next time I'll hit you with one that's hey.
Yeah. Like something like that. Exactly what you just did.
Yeah.
So when I think of community, I kind of Carl hit on it. He hit on it a little bit in the interview. He talked about neighbors getting to know neighbors.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's the first thing that comes to my mind is a community is a set of neighbors who take care of each other, and so that can come in like that won't ever be your entire city overall. You're never going to get to know everybody in your city, and not everybody in your city is redeemable.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
You know, if it's in a faith-based group, or if it's in a sports team, or if it's in just your smaller neighborhood and you get to know people, I think that to me is a sense of community. People looking out for each other. And where we have lost our way a bit is we have either decided that we're not going to help each other anymore, or we want to help, but we have no idea how to do it, right?
Yeah.
And that is, I think, where we've lost the sense of community. Plus, if somebody doesn't agree with us, we just kind of flat out hate them now. It's weird.
Yeah, that is a thing, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you don't agree with me, then I'm not talking to you ever again.
Like, we don't just debate. You're an enemy that I want to, like, destroy.
Yeah.
It's very weird, in today's day and age. And so that just erodes a sense of community altogether. Oh, you don't agree with me on this subject? Well, I'm not talking to you or your family, or I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, man, you got to calm down.
Yeah.
Like, we have to come together and solve these issues, you know? Yeah. What about you? What is community to you?
Well, it is kind of a little cynical for me. Like, I immediately am
you're
like,
cynical? No way. You have a cynical answer to community?
Well, immediately I'm like, oh, this is guidance counselor talk, you know? I'm like, getting like something from somebody that I don't even know what this means.
Okay.
But for me, like, the importance of community.
Yeah.
It feels like it's unattainable for me. Like, where do you start?
Yeah.
How do you find what's going on in your community?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, do you just walk up to some random person and be like, hey, what's happening? Mm-hmm. You hear about any spaghetti feeds in the neighborhood? Like, what do you do? You know?
Spaghetti feeds.
Yeah.
Sure. In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm just viewing this small neighborhood with a spaghetti feed in like Jim's garage.
Exactly. And then anybody you walk up to and you ask that, they're like, wow, you're insane. Steer clear. Yeah. Never going to talk to you again.
Yeah.
We're building a fence right here so you cannot come into our property anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's a little more like, I don't know what that is anymore.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, like Carl did point out, like, start talking to your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs to me, like, when was the last time that people really did that? I mean,
I'm just going to say this to you, Ms. Lucas.
What?
You don't have to talk to every one of your neighbors. I've seen a few of your neighbors. I would like you to not talk to every one of them.
Okay. Well, I at least know the names of three of my neighbors.
Good.
So that's something.
Well, okay, good.
Just
good.
Three, not all of them.
No. So, you know, I mean,
ooh,
maybe,
four, actually.
Maybe avoid a couple.
Yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
Fine.
All right.
I think though, like, you're hitting on something that I think affects a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, like, and myself included too. Like, I think the issue with sometimes charitable giving specifically, but community overall, is that, like, there is no sense of, like, man, like, where do, like, there's a sense of, like, where do I even start?
Yeah,
like,
what
how
do I do?
Yeah, like, and also there's this idea of, like, well, what you're talking about is unattainable, right? Like, so I think you're hitting on a really, really sort of like deep-rooted issue that we have today, is that like sometimes it feels like there's so many problems or there's so many people that like I don't even know where I should start, so I won't.
And some of this stuff too, like when it comes to the proportions we're talking, like homelessness is now a crisis.
Yeah, it's full blown.
Drug use is now a crisis.
Yeah.
Mental health is becoming a crisis.
Yeah.
So like we've got those three things that are like crisis levels,
right,
with other stuff right behind it. So like you've got jobs, economic growth, you know, food shortages. Like those are gonna get worse and worse.
Yeah.
But at the same token, as an individual, you're like, I don't know how to solve a crisis.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it all.
Right.
You're not going to be responsible, and there's no way you ever can fix a crisis on your own. Mm-hmm. But where do you start?
Yeah, and therein lies the power of community programs. You know, honestly, like United Ways, that, you know, you can give your dollar to and sort of have faith that they have done the requisite research and they'll find a place to make sure that money is used effectively. It strikes me that over the last, like, not even in a, because people will automatically say, well, the last 2 years has been this disaster. But really, it strikes me that for a long time.
Like the last 50?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I mean.
Let's be real here. It doesn't matter who's in the White House.
Right. More recently, though, what we have come to realize is that we have pulled off the sheetrock to reveal dry rot.
Yeah.
Right? Like the system has been rotting from within for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have put things over it or sprayed Febreze in the room to get rid of the smell.
Yeah.
But we've never actually addressed the problem. And now it's a full on crisis.
Yeah.
Right? The hopeful part is that if you've ever actually dealt with dry rot in your house, you understand that it takes a long time to rebuild.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes some pretty big sacrifices and it takes contributions from other people. You can't rebuild on your own.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we have sort of lifted off this veil to reveal something that's a little bit dirtier and messier and reveals a lot of dark problems that we have really never had the wherewithal to deal with.
Yeah.
But it does seem to me like potentially we have the type of people today everywhere in society, not just in government, private sector, private citizens, to actually solve these problems.
Yeah.
We just have to get on it.
Yeah.
And work together.
And figure out how to get us all in the same room talking on the same page.
And not screaming at each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. Like, don't automatically just assume that, like, one solution is the only solution.
Yes.
Right? Like, we stop screaming at each other for a few minutes. Your screaming is not actually solving the issue.
Yeah. And just because you like one thing doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to me. Yeah. And this is kind of where those sort of things start. This idea, if you don't know where to give, but you know that there's a specific issue that you want to address, like homelessness, because United Ways are really focusing a lot on homelessness.
Yeah.
And you'd think to yourself, I just don't really know where I want to give. United Ways, if you're looking to help in homelessness and education and those sort of three sectors that they deal with a lot, they could be an effective way for you to use a dollar just to start.
Yeah.
And then get the ball rolling. You start to meet some charities, you get in the nonprofit world, and before you know it, you have two or three charities that you really identify with.
Yeah.
So, great, deep question. Boy, we've got way too deep for
All right, so next question will be a mustache
question. You're going to have to... I mean, our listeners demand a mustache question.
If you could be a colored dog, what colored dog would you like to be? Green. Let me tell you why.
Yeah, those are great questions.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I am not going to blather on anymore. I'm going to go ahead and toss this thing to the interview with Carl Borg, the executive director of the United Way of Kitsap County. Here it is. Okay, so we are here with Carl Borg, the executive director of the United Way of Kitsap County. Carl, thank you for making the trip down and being on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for bringing me down.
Yeah. So, first off, low-hanging fruit question. Can you tell us a little bit of the history of the United Way of Kitsap County and what it is that you do for the community?
United Way of Kitsap County has been around since 1937. We're on our 82nd year now.
Nice.
And we started out as a typical United Way where we would, you know, raise money and then support basically 36 different organizations.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, when we hit with government sequestration and the government shutdown, that totally affected the entire county because we're so heavily military.
Right, right.
So at that point, we made the decision that we were going to move to what's called community impact. Mm-hmm. So instead of supporting just 36 organizations, we're now working on solving root causes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the first thing we did was we created a collaboration with the Kitsap Community Foundation, Squamish Tribe, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. and created a program that's called Kitsap Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we're fighting intergenerational poverty.
Yes.
And the way we're doing that is through adverse childhood experiences, childhood trauma,
mm-hmm.
and then also through education, because the best way out of poverty is education. And with Kitsap, we have an 82% graduation rate.
Nice.
But out of that 82% graduation rate, only 30% get any post-secondary education.
Oh, wow.
And that includes that includes any certificates, two-year, mm-hmm. four-year
college. Oh, wow, anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
anything. And right now, 70% of the jobs require some post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to get a living wage, you have to have that. And not everybody should go to college.
Right,
you
know? Right.
We've got the average age of a mechanic is 55.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need mechanics because
right.
cars do break down.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. And we have not automated that process.
Yeah. And even if they're automated, they're still going to break down.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we've started working with Olympic College has joined us in that effort. And they were
excellent.
One of the original people involved with that to be able to get more people to go to the two-year colleges and then really decide what you want to do from there.
Excellent. Nice. That's awesome.
Nice.
So this episode specifically is about community programs, and nothing says community program more than United Ways do, but I think sometimes they're because of the reshift in focus for a lot of United Ways, you're not just the only one. There might be some confusion for folks as to what it is, why it is that United Way is important. Can you talk a little bit about why a charity like the United Way is important to the fabric of a community?
Yeah, United Way is uniquely different than other organizations in that when we bring people together, we don't have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Our main agenda is to make the community a better place. Mm-hmm. If we're working on housing, the housing authority is obviously going to be working on what they can do within that housing initiative. Mental health is going to be mental health, but United Way is looking at the entire picture. So how is mm-hmm. it going to affect the entire community and possibly bring in other people
yeah.
to the table that other people can't bring in?
Mm-hmm.
So like for what we're doing in Kitsap County is we have no transitional housing. We have no permanent supportive housing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a group together that has been put together by Commissioner Charlotte Garrido, and we call it Homes for All, and we're building our first transitional tiny village.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so United Way is the physical sponsor for that because nobody else can take the money in and make sure it's only used for that purpose
yeah.
and put it back out. So we're working. We do that part of it as mm-hmm. well mm-hmm. as try to see what other partners aren't there
yeah.
that need to be there.
Yeah.
And the same with the permanent supportive housing. It's mainly a project for Kitsap Mental Health, Kitsap Community Resources, as well as Bremerton Housing Authority. But we're leveraging, hopefully, our relationship with the Gates Foundation to help the Gates Foundation help us support that particular
yeah.
initiative.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what strikes me as with the new focus, especially with a lot of the United Ways around Washington State, because we visit them all the time. Is you really have become sort of the conduit between point A and point B. So if everybody's looking at a homelessness issue and they're saying, well, these are some of the things that might solve it, but who is available to solve it? It kind of feels like United Ways are attempting to step into that role as bringing it to the finish line, basically.
Correct. That's what community impact is.
Yeah.
It's yeah. really getting down and... Granted, we still have our designations that go to the safety net. We want to make sure the safety net's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find out why we need that safety net. You know, what are the main things behind that we can help create a new situation to where that we don't have that problem anymore?
Yeah.
Do you guys deal with 211 at all?
Yes. We actually, 211 is the United Way program.
Yeah.
For us, we actually house 211 in Kitsap Mental Health, and it covers Kitsap County, Mason County, Grays Harbor, Pacific, Clallam, and Jefferson counties.
Yeah. What an awesome, that's one of, by the way, one of my favorite things the United Ways have ever developed. It's 211. It's like 911 if you don't have a medical emergency, basically.
Yeah, and during any emergency, it rolls nationwide. So if we have an earthquake here and our 211's down, it will roll to another 211.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So someone else in the state will cover calls.
Nice.
During the fires, you know, we're over at OMAC, we were taking calls from Yakima and other places because their 211 was overloaded.
Yeah.
And so we've got 211s. Washington State's very different than what Oregon. Oregon has one 211 call center, and we have 211 call centers all over the state.
Okay.
So ours is a much more efficient system.
Yeah.
It's also supported by the state as well.
Yes,
and
right.
That is an amazing thing because to get the state support means we can really help people.
Pretty cool partnership.
And what we're doing within 211 is really helping people find, especially now with the cost of housing, is helping people find that utility assistance or rental assistance to keep them in their house so they don't become homeless.
That's right. That's a great, it's a great system. Yeah. Really cool. Really cool.
So you're obviously working with charity partners and you're working with people who are really affected by issues for homelessness, housing, education. But in your experience, do you think that it's hard to get people who don't have any of these issues to get involved in community and in programs like yours?
It kind of is right now.
Yeah.
Basically, because everybody looks at it and you only see the negative press that comes out of King County. And so when we're doing things in Kitsap, we're trying really hard to figure out a way to get those people off the streets.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, for us, we don't have any what's called permanent supportive housing. And what that is what's called a housing first solution. So the best way to get people off the streets is to get them into a facility off the streets, get them housed. Once you get them housed, then you can bring in the medical support they need, the mental health support they need, as well as anything else to get them back to where they can be functional in this within society.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand, because the first thing you hear is if you're going to do a tiny village in the neighborhood, they're like, well, that's going to bring our property values down.
Right.
That's going to do this. But it actually doesn't. Because what it is, it's a gated community for low-income people. And everybody that goes into the tiny villages are all vetted. They're basically only going to be there 6 months, maximum a year. And it's just a place to give them an address, stable living, housing. Once you're housed, then your outlook on life changes.
Yeah.
And you can really go out, function, get a job, and become a real productive citizen.
Yeah.
So the Homes for All initiative that you guys are doing, is that that's newer to United Way of Kitsap?
Yes. It started about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And we have our first village that we're we had a church step up, Church of Christ in Renton.
Okay.
That donated land for it. So we'll have a 16-unit village up. Hopefully by summer. We got a little behind because of a tornado.
That'll do it.
And the tornado literally just missed it.
Wow.
When you turn to go out to where Christ the King Lutheran or the church is, right there on the corner, there's a tree that was.
Is that a normal thing in Kitsap County?
Tornadoes?
Tornadoes?
Really.
Never.
No.
No.
No. No. Okay.
When that hit, when that hit, it was really crazy because we were in the office doing some tech work and you know, my phone's blowing up and I'm like, okay, I can look at it later. And then I get a call from my son who's in Portland that said, you had a tornado. We're like, yeah, no.
It was
on the ground for 60 seconds and
oh my gosh,
affected 149 families.
Wow.
And they're still cleaning up trees because of the, and you go up there and you think, you know, little trees, and like, no, they're trees that are huge.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when that occurred, we actually immediately set up a Port Orchard Tornado Relief Fund.
Yeah.
Every dollar that goes into that goes back out. We don't take any expenses out of it.
Cool.
So we've raised right around $75,000 to be able to put back in and help those people know, get back up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're looking, if you happen to be in a disaster
yeah.
and you have low income, there's no way out.
Yeah, it's right. you're lower.
Yeah,
than
I
bottom.
Mean you're playing yeah. without a net to begin with.
Yeah, right. And the federal government yeah. they have what's called Small Business Administration loans, mm-hmm. but if you don't have an income to be able to pay that loan back, you can't get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't have. It's not large enough to be a FEMA disaster because there's no infrastructure destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It's not big enough to be a state disaster. So yeah. we're on our own.
Wow.
And so we're working really hard. We've got a recovery committee together, and we're going to be together until we get yeah. that problem solved.
Yeah.
Speaking of government, so we are obviously we're government employees because the CFD is housed at the Secretary of State's office. We most of the folks who listen to the podcast and or donate through the CFD are state or higher education public employees. Can you talk a little bit about the role of government as a safety net for communities? Do you feel like, without getting too overtly political, do you feel like the role of government currently is adequate? Your relationships with government officials in Kitsap, do you feel like you get enough out of local government to help? Do you think people get enough for the community?
I'm not sure that they get enough, mm-hmm. but a lot of that, I mean, the state does what they can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is still dealing with the federal issues.
Yes.
Before the ACA was passed.
Yeah.
Kitsap had a 49% insured rate.
Okay.
We are now at 92%.
Oh, because of that. Wow.
That's cool.
So now when they start talking about taking that away,
right.
mm-hmm.
then we have to, you know, we didn't really get involved in advocacy in the past, but
sure.
we have to now because with what's coming out, you know, you've got people that are, you know, they need the food stamps. They need other things to be able to maintain their life, to be able to get a better job and go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if you start taking that away, then you've got a whole new scenario where people have to, you know, support their community even more than what they're used to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that the community can do, but there are a lot of things the government has to do because it's larger scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can't do that, then there's something wrong with the government.
Yeah, there's really interesting to me because it feel like, you know, the quote, like, all politics is local. I feel like it should be changed to all politics is personal, like,
yeah.
because it really does personally affect individuals. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, sort of this sort of larger local. It's really like a personal thing when those sort of things start to go away.
And what we're trying to do is get people to understand that it may not affect you personally, but
yeah.
it does.
Yeah.
Because if you're fine and you've got, you know, you've got your house, you've got your income, everything's going great,
mm-hmm.
well, you've got other people that's not going so great
right.
with, and they're going to affect your standard of living.
Yeah. And it's totally
so the
true.
The more we can support our community and the more we support our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
then it's better for everybody.
Yeah. Awesome.
So what do you recommend that a person do? Like if they have neighbors who are suffering and going through hard times, like what do you recommend somebody do to help engage more with their community or do something to better their community?
Well, basically what neighbors need to do is get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Because
there you go.
Yeah. Do you know
what
your neighbor's
a concept?
Names?
What a concept.
We discovered during a survey that we did back in 2011 that less than 30% of Kitsap residents knew their neighbor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one of the biggest issues within childhood is that less than 40% have a trusted adult that they can go to.
Wow.
And so if you don't have that backbone support while you're growing up through childhood, even as an adult, then that's one of the biggest things you can do to make the community better is just get to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you can start looking at, well, wait a minute, that person doesn't belong here or something's going on. They haven't seen them for a while. And you start building that neighborhood support for
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
And then that brings the whole neighborhood up.
Yeah. That's super simple.
It is really
yeah,
simple. Yeah.
yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, for a second, some of the, one of the things that is kind of neat about, a lot of United Ways is that, you're able to get a grasp on community needs better than most nonprofits sometimes because they're so focused on one issue. You, of course, like you said, are dealing with multiple issues. Can you give a glimpse into some of the issues in Kitsap County that are currently affecting those in need?
The biggest issue is housing.
Yeah.
Where we've got our homeless population is increasing 55 and over.
Oh.
Because you're on a fixed income. Now you've got King County, which is way overpriced, so people are jumping on the ferry, come across to get lesser expensive homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now those homes have gone up. So you've got apartment complexes that last year were charging lower-income people $400 a month. They're now up to $900 a month.
Wow. Ooh, yeah, no.
Wow. And so now you just forced an entire group of people out on the street.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so trying to get that. And then also we've got the Section 8 housing, which has always been, you know, an amazing part of the ecosystem. But now all those landlords that have owned that property are like, I can make a serious profit by either tearing it down, selling it, doing whatever. And that's occurring quite frequently also.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, the housing is the biggest issue. Cost of living is another thing. And just trying to get people to where, you know, they say that you need, you know, you a living wage job, you know, minimum $15 an hour is something we really seriously need to look at. And you say, well, it'll make the cost of goods go up. You're like, well, not really, because if everybody has a living wage job, then everybody's contributing to the economic system and prices go down because everybody's making more money.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it's supposed to work.
Right. Right.
So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to United Way of Kitsap. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
What they do is they allow us to actually make the community better.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that we're working on is adverse childhood experiences and childhood trauma. Childhood trauma affects everyone, poor, rich, whatever. And we've got an average, the average in Kitsap County is right around 3 adverse childhood experiences. And if you, anyone that's been incarcerated is like 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there's 10 adverse childhood experiences. And the other thing is that childhood trauma also, when we start working and getting a trauma sensitive society, you're no longer looking at somebody saying what's wrong with you. You're looking at them and saying what happened to you. And if you look at a lot of the shooters and a lot of the shootings that have happened, they've all reached out, but everybody said what's wrong with you instead of what happened to you. Sit down, talk to them, and talk to them on a whole different level. Like within schools where you've got somebody that acts out, they get suspended.
Yeah.
Well, they're actually getting what they want. They are getting sent home. They don't want to be in school. So what we've tried to create in Kitsap is that it's in-school suspension. So if you're suspended, you go to a special classroom where you are with other people that have done that, but you're still in class.
You
are not going home. You're, you know, you're learning. And our main effect, thing is make sure people graduate and get them out to where they're earning a living. And equity is another big issue that we're trying to deal with, because we have an 82% graduation rate, but South Island, you know, South Pacific Islander, they're at 15%.
Wow. Okay.
So why is that?
Yeah.
And what you look at is you and I can turn on the TV and we can see somebody that looks like us in a position of power leading other people. If you're a South Pacific Islander, you see them as either, you know, the backup guy or the funny guy or somebody. They're never in a position of leader power.
Right.
And a lot of time that's within people of color also. And so trying to get people of color to, you know, start, you know, becoming teachers, because when you go into a classroom, if you're learning, you know, if you're Native American, you're not seeing a teacher that looks like you or a teacher that can relate to you culturally. And so trying to be able to do that. And as well as if we're going to work with kids, you know, teach them English as a second language, why can't we teach Spanish as a second language for American kids to be able to
good
have
point.
That?
Good point.
Thing. If you're going to do it one way, do it both ways.
Good point. Good point. So do you have any programs or events coming up that you'd like to highlight?
We do. We on April 12th, we have our beer and wine tasting event. It's called Lifting Spirits. And it's at
the, you had I'd him like at some, beer and
I'd
wine.
I'd like some information on that event, please.
And we have we've got a lot of great silent auction items, and that that event goes for our operating expenses.
Okay.
And so we can offset a lot of those. We also have a golf tournament that we had that's on June 19th.
Awesome.
And that'll be at McCormick Woods.
Okay.
And that does the same thing. We've got a lot of great fun, a lot of great auction items for that.
Yeah.
Gets me out of the office for a whole
Day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Even better. Awesome. Well, Carl, we really want to thank you for again, making the trip down from Kitsap County, talking a little bit about the needs up there and what it is United Way is doing for the community.
Great. Well, thank you for the time, and please hope everybody can, you know, give to the charity that they really, really want to support. and even designate within United Way. But, you know, think about the fact, give them 50%, give us 50%, because we really want to make sure we can solve those particular issues of poverty.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay, and that was our interview with Carl Borg, the executive director of the United Way of Kitsap County. Super interesting conversation about the United Way and the role of government and tornadoes in Kitsap County. I mean, really, really super interesting. You have some facts and figures for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking up community programs, right? And community, and, you know, of course, like I said before, it is a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff out there about community being like a... Here's a definition for you that I found on the internet, which is a true place. All things on the internet are true.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. A community is a familiar thread used to bring people together to advocate and support each other in the fight to overcome those threats.
Okay.
I snipped that out of something.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they're helpful to join or create because they provide support to individuals who are impacted by daily stress, struggles, and chaos in modern
life.
That's right. So five benefits of community. Knowledge.
Okay.
So you can learn what works and doesn't work in your community, and you can learn from people who have already done something and been like, yeah, it wasn't so great.
Yeah.
We'll try this instead.
All right.
Connections.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can improve on your social and your professional networks.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiration. You get diversity.
Yes.
Different opinions.
Big
different
time.
Perspectives.
Big time.
Resources. Because it's impossible to do everything like by yourself.
Yep.
Like, you know, the drywall situation.
Yeah.
Dry rot.
Dry rot, yeah.
You got to find somebody who knows what they're doing if you don't.
Yep.
And then support. You're not alone out there.
Yeah.
So if you are having a hard time with something, then you can reach out to your community and say, hey, what do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was also looking up some kind of stuff, you know, like how do you find communities? What do you do? Like you can have like go into Facebook and find certain groups that can be a community for you for like medical issues, for education. Like you can connect to your alma mater. You can connect to religious organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You can even create communities just for your particular neighborhood very easily via social media. So that's something that's cool.
Yep.
But then there's this other thing about communities that kind of popped up, and it was like hippie communes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like me a good hippie commune.
So there's definitely hippie communes out there.
Sure.
Right? And you can go and you can like try to get vetted and try to get invested.
Vetted into a hippie commune?
Yeah. You don't just walk in.
That seems the antithesis of a hippie
commune. I know, right? You don't just walk in anymore and be like, hey, peace, love, let's do this.
Yeah. They have a... an application.
Yeah, you fill it out while you stand there. Take off your shoes first. No, that's not how it works.
Who did you vote for president? Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, or...
Dave the Greek. I was going to say Greek chameleon for some reason.
Greek chameleon?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
All right, roll with it.
Eugene McCarthy.
Nice. Yeah.
Hip because it's... Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Johnson! That was shaking my fist.
There
are communities.
We just lost half the audience.
Yeah, we did. Bye! there are communities out there that are different.
Yes.
Like hippie communes. Mm-hmm. But there are like certain pockets of the world that just have like these people who all connect over the same issue.
Okay.
And they exist.
Okay.
So
what are these people?
So there is a thing called the Federation of Damanhur, which is a secret community beneath the Italian Alps.
Oh my gosh. Did they really live beneath the Italian Alps?
Apparently. A secret underground community started in 1975 based upon visions that this man, Falco Eraldi saw in his childhood. Visions.
Created
this commune.
That's a cult.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I guess a cult's a community.
Well, there's 600 inhabitants.
Oh,
a cult is a community. That's for sure.
They
that
are
is true.
A community,
they are,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how it begins or ends.
Yeah.
They're a community.
Yeah.
There's a community in Amsterdam with 152 residents, and it's a village for people with dementia.
Oh, wow.
So they are all kind of like they have this little town that functions and looks like a normal town, but like people can like do things. They shop, they dine, they live like a normal town.
Yeah.
But it's carefully monitored.
Wow.
So people don't go out into like the regular world and like walk in front of a car and not realize they're in front of a car. You
Interesting.
Know? There's another group, women living in Chernobyl.
Okay.
So there's a lot of women who have decided to move back into the area.
Okay.
For some reason, like, there's an 18-mile area around it that's still, like, off-limits, but 230, they call them self-settlers, have decided to move back in.
Do they say why they've decided to move back into a nuclear...
No, no. It says whether they're nostalgic, stubborn, or just plain crazy.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
And then it says how to join. Go to the Ukraine and find someone willing to take you there.
Have you heard about this, by the way? They do. They have these adventure tours now where, like, you can go to Chernobyl like, experience it. Yeah. Not quite sure.
Like, they did that horror movie
about it, right? Yes, they did. Like, and that spawned this whole thing where people, like, make their way to Chernobyl. Why would you need to make your way to a leaky nuclear facility?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's necessary, right? I could go my whole life not visiting that.
Pictures are fine.
Yeah. Seems good to me.
Yeah.
Seems good to me. I'm not going to go to Three Mile Island anytime soon.
Nope.
Yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah. I don't even want to visit Hanford.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm okay.
I'm good. I'm good.
So there's a couple others that are kind of weird. There's this one called the Garbage City. I know.
Uh-huh.
It's in Cairo. And people could earn their livelihood by collecting trash from the 20 million inhabitants of Cairo. So they just, like, go through this whole trash area. How to join this community? Mm-hmm. Go to Cairo and follow your nose is what it said on this article.
Wow, that's a weird one.
In Manila, North City in the Philippines, there's a community living in a graveyard.
Oh,
there's a graveyard. The largest public graveyard spans over 130 acres, but they have problems with both housing and like economic growth.
Yeah,
so people are squatting in mausoleums.
Oh wow, that's
crazy, right?
That's grim.
But they also offer tours and sell trinkets of their city.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, why not take advantage?
Yeah, right? And then, I don't know about this, because I've been to Vegas. Have you been to Vegas? I have been to Vegas.
Yes.
We've talked about Vegas.
Yes.
What stays there. We won't discuss that on air.
Yeah, that's correct.
There are apparently people living below the strip in tunnels in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, about 1,000 people.
What?
That's what this says,
like,
on the internet.
Like that movie Demolition Man, where, like, Dennis Leary and his people are underneath
just like
the thing?
That.
What the?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you see any cows around? No.
Really?
Yeah.
So, that changes my whole Vegas Strip experience now.
Yeah,
there's some creeps living underneath.
Mm-hmm. So there's a book called Beneath the Neon by Matthew O'Brien that documents this, apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Beneath the Neon.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna have to look into this book.
Yeah, and
it's
then there's a foundation to help people who are living in the streets and the tunnels.
Yeah.
So Shine a Light Foundation. I haven't looked that up, but that's what it's called.
Wow. So that is some interesting stuff.
That's what you do. That's what you get when you Google community, and then you go a little deeper into the weird stuff.
Yeah. That's some weird stuff.
Yeah,
that
I
is
like
some
the weird,
weird
stuff.
Business.
Weird, wacky
leave
stuff.
Leave it to Heather Lucas to come up with some weird stuff.
I like the weirdos.
So that was this week's show. Kind of hit on some upcoming events. We just had our recognition events. We just wrapped them all up. And we are prepping for Well Fed, Well Read, which will run April 1st through the 12th. So those of you who are located in Thurston County or Spokane County, fingers crossed one day up in Bellingham. You will engage in a book and food drive for kids that go to basically benefit the local charities in each one of those areas. May 9th is the big one. It's the Leadership Breakfast. It's sort of the unofficial kickoff of the 2019 campaign.
Yeah.
Agency directors, different volunteer groups. It's at the Little Creek Event Center out in Shelton. It's scheduled to be a really, really cool one. We kind of hit on it a little bit, so I'm just gonna do the reveal at this on this particular podcast. So this podcast is kind of perfect for it because community a lot of times means connectedness, togetherness, those sort of things. And we had kind of been teasing you over the last couple months about the 2019 theme.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually crafting the theme around connectedness, like being connected. And the fact that CFD is one of the rare programs in your state life that actually work to legitimately connect you with your coworkers and charities in your community and those in need and other donors. And so this year's campaign is going to be centered around connectivity, how we all connect with each other. And the slogan for this year's theme is Choose to be Different. So in a time where there's lots of cynicism, there's lots of back and forth. We talked about it a lot on this particular podcast. Lots of entrenched viewpoints that nobody is willing to negotiate off of, which create a much lonelier world, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely.
Choose to be different. Be different than that narrative. And that is the theme we're going to go with. The content, we'll still have a lot of fun stuff to it. We have a particularly hilarious video that'll be coming out on May 9th, Leadership Breakfast. So there's a whole bunch of really neat things that are going to come out of it. But this is kind of the perfect podcast to actually unveil that sort of like that sort of theme on being connected, being like with each other, creating an actual real community that can really affect people.
Washington gives, Washington connects.
There it is. Washington gives, Washington connects. Listen to that. You should be in marketing.
Yeah.
Jerrica, watch out. Oh! Oh, breaking news.
What's that?
Before...
Did you just get handed something?
I did, right now. Breaking news. Before we go.
Okay.
Okay, I got to do a little shout out.
Mm.
My mother downloaded and listened to her first CFD podcast for
all
good.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I can no longer say anything disparaging about my mother because she's listening.
Because you did every single episode.
Shut it. That's not how
every
that went. That's
single
not how that went.
Episode.
Mom, don't listen to Heather. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
I'm just trying to get her to listen every single episode.
I will say this. It is a pleasure to have my mother listen to the show. I'm very excited, Mom, that you're
welcome
listening
to the show, Mrs. Kerrigan.
Yes, it's so awesome. She downloaded her first podcast, listened to it. I got a mixed review. Yeah, it was good. But, hey, she's listening.
Well, step up your game.
I know. Now I got to be on point.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
But, yeah, so I figured a shout out to my mom.
Nice.
To end the show.
I like it.
So that's it for this week's episode, Season 3, Episode 10, Community Programs. Thank you very much, folks. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, Mom.